of Missions and Director of Urbana. And Tom, if you come up, I'll pray for you. God, we thank you for our brother Tom, for the work that he has done in leading him to this position, and we look forward with excitement to what you will do now through his work here. We ask that you would open our hearts as we hear the words of his message and just help him to speak clearly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is my second NSC chapel ever. And so I'm used to chapels when I lived overseas that last about 2 or 3 hours. So I hope that's how we do it here. Right? Is that right? Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure, clear that out of the way. The video that I showed just now that you saw was at Lausanne Congress in Cape Town. Can we turn this one off? Can we turn this off? It was a striking video there because, you get the sense of urgency and great need in the world, right? And I remember my reaction to seeing that video and some of the other things that happened at this big Congress was not one of stress or worry, but actually of great hope. I think my first response was hope because InterVarsity is teaching students and faculty that our God is a missionary God who loves the nation. And that's who we're teaching. And we're developing people who will eventually meet these needs in the world. So that actually gave me a lot of hope. In 2001, after 7 years of campus ministry in the U.S., my wife Nancy and I decided to respond to great urgency and need that we felt to a place that we'd never heard of before, never dreamed of living, and that was Mongolia. The Lord called us to plant an IFES movement in Mongolia. And it seemed like an impossible task at the time. Mongolia is a former communist country where in 1989 there were no known Christians. It's a country without Christian history, where the first Bible was translated in the year 2000. It's a country which most people refer to as the middle of nowhere. Okay? It's a place where Jesus probably referred to as the ends of the earth. Okay? It's a country in extreme poverty, average wages around $40 a month. It's a country where they speak no English, only Mongolian, and it was a foreign language that I was not looking forward to learning. It's a country with food options that typically are not appealing to American taste buds. There's no seafood, no fish, no McDonald's, no fast food chains, and no Starbucks coffee. Yeah. That was hard for me. There was only one small group of students meeting, no staff. Meetings were actually underground because it was illegal. There's no government recognition. Seemingly, no hope for growth. And besides all that, it was cold. I mean, negative 40 degrees in the winter. Okay, negative, that's where Celsius and Fahrenheit intersect. That's cold. And so Nancy and I thought, can we actually survive, God? You know, can student ministry really happen in a country like this? But our God is a missionary God who loves the nations. And so this morning I want to share some of my reflections on this compelling call of our missionary God toward planting in particular. I'll share some about my life so you get to know me a little bit as well. But particularly about this God's heart towards planting, toward engaging new nations, new campuses, new Greek groups, new faculty groups, new projects in our cities. This is our God. So we're going to start with Genesis chapter 12, the very first slide, if we can get to it, Matt. So if you have your Bibles, you can look at it as well. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Very familiar passage, I think, to all of us. If we can we read this in unison together? Okay. Leave your country. Oh, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, I love this passage because one of the ways I see this is that God calls Abraham to be a planter. Right? He says, I have a mission for you, Abraham. I'm going to plant a new nation, and I'd like you to do it. I want you to leave everything, your home, your country, your culture, your wealth, everything that you have, and then I want you to pitch tents and make your home among strangers. And amazingly, Abraham obeys, right? And he travels there. And if we actually count to Genesis chapter 12 and 13, Abraham pitches his tent and resides in eight different places. And so the question that I've asked is, why does God give this planting vision in the first place? Why? And so if we use our good inductive Bible study skills, okay, in just these four verses, what is often repeated here? What is the why in here? Why would God want to do that?
Bless.
To bless, right? God's heart and passion, I think verse 3 captures it, to bless all peoples on the earth. To bless all peoples on the earth. Our God is a missionary God, and his heart and passion is to bless, to engage the nations. And this has been constant throughout history, constant throughout Scripture. See, I believe when Abraham actually goes out from Haran to this unknown land, when he chooses to become a planter, it's what God's always intended for his people all along. And so Abraham models then what it means to be a traveler on a mission, a planter. People who are setting out not knowing exactly where they're going, but trusting in God's promises and in God's leadership. That might sound familiar to some of us, trusting in God's leadership and promises, but not knowing exactly where we're going. See, I believe that like Abraham, like the disciples, InterVarsity staff as well, all of us, we're called to become travelers on a mission as well. We're invited to give up our rootedness in the world, in our current places, and to pitch tents then, right? To pitch tents in the not yet blessed places, the unreached places. And I think the key word here is unreached places, cities, campuses, nations. That's why 20 new chapter planters come to Madison every year. If you haven't had a chance to meet some of those folks, it's amazing. They all come to Madison in July because of this calling. That's why people like Nate and Malin Young, who are friends of mine serving with Link in Turkey, they're planting an IFES movement. My guess is that's why people like, and I haven't talked to Paul Culp or Dan Burnett yet, but I'm sure that's one of the reasons they moved to Madison, because of this calling. I think the hardest lesson for me in all this as an InterVarsity staff was that God's missionary call is not always to our favorite places or our favorite nations, right? But it's to pitch tents in the unreached places, sometimes not our favorite places. So when Nancy and I were in this process of going overseas, we were very excited about how can we serve IFES. So we had our own ideas. We want to serve God because there's great need in Singapore. You know, that's fantastic. Oh, it'll be great to live in Singapore. You know, it's clean. They speak English. Oh, it'll be great. We love Singapore. You know, but God had other ideas. We were led to Mongolia, a place that we actually really hadn't heard of before, didn't even know where it was located on the map, practically. So we went, and actually coming back to the U.S., that was interesting too. We thought, well, we've paid our dues now. We lived in this country we weren't fond of. Now we're going to live in the places we really love. And so, yeah, so we were thinking, can we move back to California? That's where we used to live. Maybe Boston. That's our favorite city. We met there, got married there, Boston. And sure enough, through various long process, the Lord made it very clear, while there were opportunities all around the country, Missouri was the place for us. And we soon, with great fondness, began calling it the Mongolia of the U.S. So Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri. Yes, well, like I said, that's become a favorite place of ours right now. I remember talking to one of my Fuller Seminary classmates, and he said, you know, Tom, I really admire you. I said, oh, wow, thank you. You know, why? And he said, because, you know, you're leaving such a sexy ministry in Mongolia and California, whatever, and you're going to a very unsexy place. That's the way he put it. I said, well, thank you, I guess. Is that a compliment? God doesn't always call us to the sexy places. Right? Amen? And so as we look at Scripture, of course, we know that my story is not that uncommon, right? The prophets, the apostles, they don't always go to their favorite places, right? God calls them to the unknown places, the scary places, the intimidating places. And I think sometimes in InterVarsity, not in this room, sometimes in InterVarsity, I wonder if it's easy to forget that the work we do is about this missionary call. I wonder if we easily forget this missionary call to the unreached places. to the Mongolias, to the small, outcast, unsexy community colleges, to the Arkansas or Nebraskas. I wonder if we forget that InterVarsity is about being a missions movement to the whole campus and all its diversity, to all the campuses. I wonder if it's easy to forget that we serve a missionary God. So as we as a movement go out and plant, and we're doing a lot of planting, which is exciting, it's critical for us to remember why we plant. Why do we plant on these unreached campuses and these unreached nations? And the first reason, I want to share three quick ones. One is what I've just talked about, that the reason is our God is a missionary God. I believe we have a missionary call to the unengaged or unreached places and nations. We're called to be travelers on a mission. I'll share briefly my recent experience in the central region and in chapter planting. I think responding to this missionary call has been a transformative experience. It's actually a very exciting thing that's happening, not just in the central region, in other places, that's radically changing the way we think of our work. For one thing, is the language. We've started using, in the central region, I think some other places too, stop using the word staff worker and call ourselves or staff as missionaries. I mean, we're missionaries. Often staff will now call their student leaders student missionaries. That's what we are. We have this one picture that in the central region that was used a lot of missionary shoes, a reminder, using that as an image for our identity, a reminder that every day when we come to the office, we're putting on our missionary shoes, we're strapping them on, and we think, we breathe, and we're responding to God's call to be missionaries. It's led to, I think, a refining or focus of vision for many of the regions. In the central region in particular, this was the missionary call and the vision to see a movement of missional communities planted in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's the vision that the region is working towards. And I think that's radically changing the way staff work's done. And at the time this vision was launched, the region was at 14 chapters, so the goal was to plant 36 chapters in 12 years. And I remember the excitement in the room. Again, the response was not a fear or trepidation. The response was excitement. I had one staff stood up when this vision was launched, stood up and said, "Tom, I'll take 10 chapters. I'll take 10 of them." And then another staff worker, his name's Adam Leung. Some of you may have met him. He's just a great, boisterous planter. He was getting ready to plant a chapter at University of Missouri at Mizzou. But he was already saying, "Hey, Tom, can you tell me, after I plant that one, where should I go next?" Right? This is the response. And we had a group that stepped up and said, "We'll go to Kansas." When I asked the question, and I said, "Who wants to go to the ends of the earth here?" The response wasn't everyone looking around, but it was actually this group rose to the occasion in particular, the place where we were trying to replant and did not have work in Kansas. And, you know, try to paint an accurate picture of Kansas. And my apologies. But this was the thing. This was attractive. This was, you know, let's do this. And so this team launched in 2008 to go to this place, this Kansas. The second reason that we plant, I think, is we want to see more lives transformed, don't we? See, this is not primarily about InterVarsity. It's not about our strategic plan or growth goals. It's not about us in this room trying to do something wonderful. But we pursue planting on the whole campus, on new campuses, because we want to see more lives transformed, right? And I have to share that I was actually one of these lives that was transformed as a student. In 1989, there was a student, I have his picture here, his name was J.P. J.P. Hong was a student leader at the InterVarsity chapter at Harvard. And he responded to this call to plant on the whole campus. He realized, as he looked at the campus, there was a subset of the campus of 2,000 Asian Americans that had no ministry reaching out to them in particular, 2,000. And so the following year, he launched the first ever Asian American Bible study as part of InterVarsity. This also happened to be my freshman year. So this planter planted the ministry that eventually touched my life. I never planned to join InterVarsity. I didn't know anything about InterVarsity as a student. But this Asian American Bible study of InterVarsity drew me in and engaged me. And so that first semester, my life was transformed. I owe the development of my faith to this InterVarsity planter who responded to God's calling. The second semester, then, this outward vision to reach others grew in my heart. And I caught what it meant to be a missional Christian, I think. And by the end of that freshman year, that one small group split into two, and the next year split into four cells, and more lives were transformed. And soon, 2 years later, I had the opportunity to plant this first Asian American chapter at Harvard. And 15 years later, I love this, this is just a year and a half ago or so, the chapter celebrated its 15th anniversary. It's the InterVarsity's Asian American chapter at Harvard. 15 years of lives transformed. And it gave me great joy to see this this anniversary mark. The third reason I think that we plant is that our own lives will be literally transformed, right? Our own lives, our faith will be deepened like never before when we are part of this kind of movement. Why? Because I think we will suffer and pay major costs like we haven't before. God never designed the missionary call to be an easy, painless one, right? I think some of you can say amen to that, too. It's not easy to be a traveler. If we look back to Genesis chapter 12, actually we look at Abraham, we notice that he leaves the culture he was familiar with, he leaves the friends that he had made, he leaves his family members, he leaves a comfortable life. And in verse 5, we know that it says the people they had acquired, we know that he has servants. He lives a relatively comfortable life. In verse 6, the land they're supposed to go to, Canaan, it turns out to be occupied, right? It's not empty. There are already people there. There are atheist groups there. There are pagan groups there. There are challenging people there. In verse 9, Abraham then ends up in the Negev, in the desert. He's in the desert. In verse 10, there's a great famine, and Abraham finds himself starving to death. It's costly to his marriage and his family. He has to give up his wife Sarah, right, to Pharaoh and pretend to be Sarah's brother in order to survive. How challenging is that, right? It's not easy to be a traveler or planter. And my guess is that we all in some way can identify with Abraham, that we've paid costs in some way to serve in this missionary movement. And blessing the unreached, the unengaged nations and places will continue to be costly. Nancy and I are in the midst of our fourth move in 9 years, and it's a difficult time. I remember each time we moved, we really didn't want to. I mean, it meant leaving the land we had become familiar with, the community of friends that we had made, and I remember we would turn to each other often when we get to our new place and say, honey, we have no friends. We have no friends. I remember the isolation we felt in Mongolia was so intense. And several times we said, blessing the nations is not worth it. It's not worth it. You know, I wanted to be like those people in Genesis 11. Remember those people in Genesis 11? Right, who reject the missionary call and say, I don't want to bless the earth. I want to build my own tower, right? I want to stay in this one place. I remember our first year in Missouri. When we moved. We contemplated quitting several times. We said, let's move back to California. It was too difficult. So we wrestled with God day after day after day. And you know what happens? It produced this growth and dependence on God like we never imagined. Our own lives were changed. So it helped us to understand that actually when we obey His missionary call, when we the call to the Mongolias, the Arkansas of the world, God actually wants to bless us. So I want to end by testifying that when we bless the unengaged places, our own lives will be transformed. That our missionary God shows up and blesses. And we see this in chapter 13 of Abraham's mission as well. If you remember the ending of the story, God blesses Abraham's marriage, actually. He leaves Egypt unscathed. He gets his wife back. Their marriage is back. They're back together again. Right, we see that happen. God blesses actually him financially. I thought this was interesting, right? Abraham becomes very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. In fact, he ends up more wealthy than he was before. We won't go into the theology of that or anything, but it happens for him. God blesses him with the miracle of children, right? Spiritual children, but physical children. So we know that Sarah was barren and too old, and God says, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Lots of children. And I'm not sure how exactly this works, but this is what God does when we're travelers on a mission, when we're part of a missionary movement. And I could say with honesty, I can testify to that as well. And in all the difficulties that I shared in traveling as a planter, God has blessed like never before. And I've been just so grateful to God of his faithfulness. I'm not sure how it works exactly. Somehow an IFES movement was planted in Mongolia. This is a day I'll never forget. About 2 years ago, I got the chance to go see the induction, commissioning of the first general secretary in Mongolia. And it was a privilege to be there, be part of this just formal establishment of this movement. And this group of staff right here, these three women that my wife and I invested in, they were young staff, they were students and young staff. They're now board members of the IFES movement. To see that, there are three chapters in three different parts of the capital city now. It's a registered NGO with the government. There are students meeting. There are 500 conversions in those few years. We saw in almost every person that passes through the movement, they come in as a non-believer, then they have a conversion experience, right? Make a decision for you, and then they become disciples. So it's that kind of ministry, and this is many of the 500 that were there. In all our planting efforts in the central region, and I could testify to that region, there are other many great stories, we've seen God's blessing of 18 new chapters planted in just 4 or 5 years. More importantly, lots of student missionaries developed. This is a bold student missionary named Kim Daly. She gives me hope. She's a WashU student who sacrificed her time this past fall, her senior year, to invest in students at a neighboring school called Harris Stowe University. It's a HBCU in St. Louis. Her staff worker, Ashley, said, "Hey, will you come and lead a gig with me on campus?" She said, "Oh, sure, I'll come, I'll lead the gig." 2 weeks later, she calls Ashley up and says, "Can I go to Harris Stowe by myself?" And so she's been going there by herself on a regular basis. This student is helping us plant another chapter right now. This is another bold student missionary that I got to know last year through a City Lights Urban St. Louis Urban Project. His name's Tevin. He's at our University of Iowa plant. He's now a sophomore. As a freshman, he became a believer. He's a sophomore core member in Iowa. And this fall, he gave his first sermon ever at their gathering called Mosaic, that's what they call it. And you know what happened? His first sermon ever? 5 students made first-time decisions for Christ. So we often ask the question, can students preach better than staff? Sometimes, yeah. So when we pitch, I just want to testify, when we pitch our tents, when we respond to this missionary call of God, God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
So as we begin this day, I have some reflection questions that just will give us a minute to consider for ourselves here. How are we planter travelers? How do we set out today, this day, trusting in God's promises and God's leadership? My assumption is we have some things ahead of us today, maybe this week or even this month, that require great trust in God's promises and leadership. Second reflection I have, I just want to encourage us to consider, is how have you seen God's faithfulness as you followed God's missionary call? How have you seen his faithfulness? So give us about a minute in silence, and then I'll pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. How throughout your word, throughout scripture, you share with us your heart for the nations, your nature to engage those who might be forgotten, as we saw in the video, your nature to love those who are in need of great love, your nature to bless the nations. Thank you, Lord, for that. And even as we see the great urgency and needs in the world around us, in our own campuses here in the U.S., we do want to respond with great hope. because of this ministry you've called us to, because we get to be a part of developing students' lives who can engage with these tough issues in the world today. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. Thank you for the ministry you've given to each of us here to be a part of that movement. And so, Lord, as we begin this day, we declare that we want to trust in your promises. We want to trust in your love for the people you've called us to love. We want to trust in your leadership for the tasks that we have at hand. And Lord, we also want to praise you this morning. We want to respond in great praise and worship of you, God, because of your great faithfulness. However we've seen it personally, however we've seen it in the lives that we hope to minister to. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We pray that you would give us the courage and the strength to continue on this journey, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.